the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. We've got a exclusive story coming your way in just a little bit. I'd say about 30 minutes. We'll break it down for you about a potential bioagent either being stolen or maybe it's a leak. We can't tell you exactly which one it is, of course, because, well, they weren't very specific in the documents we got our hands on. But the good folks over at White Coat Waste have been doing a lot of FOIAs. They've been doing a lot of digging. And we'll have the senior vice president, Justin Goodman, on the program today to break down what he's learning. But folks, this is a big one because this is in Montana. And it also highlights the fact that we're doing all these like experimental, very similar to the Wuhan labs that were popping up, obviously, in China. But we're doing the same exact thing here on the mainland. And although we have a new administration here, which we were told was going to pull the funding back on all of this, it doesn't seem to be the case. Justin Goodman's been all over it. He'll join us in about 30 minutes to break down that exclusive report that you're not going to see anywhere else. So we look forward to that. But folks, I want to remind you all, and you already know, but I'm just going to keep saying it. Don Lemon is an absolute idiot. And so Don's realizing that he's in a lot of you know what. And so he'll be trying to backpedal a little bit because he's really concerned that he actually might get arrested. Now, he's not a journalist, and I want to be very clear here. He is not a journalist, and this clip is going to prove just that. In clip 18, Don Lemon is catching himself in a lie. He did his very best to work with a group, a far left-wing terrorist group, allegedly, of course, that did their best to go out there and intimidate those who were trying to attend Sunday service. Don Lemon doesn't call it a protest. He calls it an operation, and he embedded himself in that operation. But now he's trying to backpedal a little bit because he's a little scared. Take a listen to clip 18.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protest started in the church, we did an act of journalism.
They're getting the operation together. Again, this is an operation that is a secret, that they invited folks out. Can't tell you what is going to happen, but you're going to watch it live unfold here on the Don Lemon Show. There are this, for this reason, looks, the, for this reason, it may look like MAGA coded, but there's a reason they have so many white people here. I'm just going to be honest. It's because of the operation that they're doing today. It's important to have allies, as they said, white allies here.
What an absolute tool. It's really important to have white allies here. White allies. Yeah, folks, you're just as good as your skin color, apparently, according to Don Lemon. Interesting enough, too, folks. Again, I told you, he says operation, not protest. So don't you dare try to claim the First Amendment as if you were peacefully protesting inside of a private property, inside of a church. He doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to now reshift your attention, hoping that you don't see that clip. That's Don Lemon's new form of journalism. In fact, the guy was so horrific on CNN that even the cushy millions of dollars they were pushing his way, the very elaborate, extensive staff who had to prop him up every night for his mediocre show, mediocre at best, it was obviously a failed show. That didn't really pull in an audience. That's why he got canned. But Don Lemon is an absolute failure. And we're going to keep highlighting just that because I've got more to discuss in a moment. But I just want to keep drilling this point home. Don Lemon needs to be charged. You got to set these rules up. He now wants to claim protest, but buddy, you called it an operation. And then when all of these J6ers, when all of these pro-lifers were being rounded up by the Biden regime, he was on board. In fact, we know that because, well, I've got a clip for that. There's a clip for everything. There's a clip for everything. I'll play it in just a few moments. Don Lemon hoping that he does not have to deal with the ramifications of his own behavior. All right, folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we have amazing deals going on right now on the site. There's different discounts all across the platform. That's why you got to look. T-shirts are 25% off. Hats are 20% off. Hoodies are also 25% off as well. And some of your favorite supplements are also on discount, up to 45% off. Atomic Defense, Ultimate Burn, Sea Moss capsules and gummies. You just got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com to see how deep these discounts go. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop. And when you go over there to make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping keep us up and running. And we greatly appreciate you for doing that.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father. God loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Got a lot going on over here. We're excited that you're jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. We have an exclusive coming your way in about 25 minutes. We'll bring that to you with Justin Goodman over at the White Coat Waste Project. He's just been alerted, and he alerted us about this exclusive story, specifically in Montana. There's a bio agent that is either missing or leaked. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. The language is either leaked, stolen, possible theft. But this is obviously a very important story that Justin Goodman and the great folks over at White Coat Waste have been following. And he'll be joining us to break that exclusively in just a few moments. But, you know, since we're on the topic and I keep talking about it, about Don Lemon, I never want to miss an opportunity to swing at Lemon. He is an absolute troll, not a journalist, but a troll. And we've learned that over the last few years. He had a show on CNN and it was very unwatchable. But when he did cover things, he decided to use it as an opportunity to go after those who just simply wanted medical freedom. I'm talking about the COVID jabs. Okay, he sat there and spewed about it almost every night, promoting it and pushing it. Well, what's the result? We believe thousands dead, a lot of individuals who are now getting turbo cancer, and a lot of women who are dealing, and men too, with fertility issues. Now, again, we were called a bunch of conspiracy theorists for even just alluding to that. They did their very best to shut down people who wanted medical freedom. In fact, if you dare speak up against the regime, well, they went after you. They made sure you lost your job. I'm a result of that. But you don't back down. You never act like a coward when they come your way and they're trying to fight you on this issue. Don Lemon didn't understand it. Obviously, this is way above his head because he's not a very intelligent person. And that includes Chris Cuomo, who's doing his very best to rewrite history because now he sees what we all saw back when this pandemic suddenly sprung about. In clip three, you're going to hear how dumb both of these men are and just some insight as to the low IQ discussion that was going on at CNN over, during this pandemic. Take a listen.
And so I think we have to stop coddling people when it comes to this and the vaccine, saying, oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are. The people who aided and abetted Trump are stupid because they believed his big lie. The people who are not getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them. What else? Or leave them behind. Because they are keeping the majority of Americans behind. You didn't feel that way about the polio vaccine. You don't feel that way about measles, mumps, rubella when it comes to your children. And all of a sudden, this vaccine is different. What's different about it? The only different thing about it is because of your politics today. The people talk about, well, I don't know what's in the shot, Chris. I don't know what's in that shot.
I'll tell you what's not in it. Hold on. A tracking device.
Yeah. Let me finish this. You know what they get shots in nowadays? In their rear ends. They're getting shots to make it bigger. They're getting shots in their face. They don't know what's in Botox. They don't know what's in this stuff. Nothing wrong with Botox.
People don't know what they eat,
what
they drink,
what they smoke. Look, I tried it once. My eyebrow went up. I don't have it now. As you can see, I got all these wrinkles. Everybody asked me when I'm going to get you need Botox. But listen, nothing wrong with Botox.
Clearly.
But I'm saying, do people really know what's in stuff that they inject in their bodies all the time? And they're
what they eat, what they drink.
All the stop it. Stop it with the ignorance. And we have to stop saying, oh, well, you know, you have to listen to people. And no, you don't. These people are being harmful to the greater good. You don't have to listen to a minority of people who are being harmful to the greater good and who are not acting on logic, reason, and science. I had an issue, I told you, Chris, when my family was here, and they were saying, well, I don't know, I just don't know. I said, you know how you got here to visit me in New York? You took an airplane. What is that? Science. Right? You know why people live to be older than 40, 50, 60 years old these days? Science. Medicine. No one questions that. You know why people, what is so contradictory about it? When people get sick, they go into the hospital and they say, throw it all, give it to me, inject it, put it in me. And you're going to pay a whole lot of money. And you're going to tax the medical system when you could have gotten it for free and you wouldn't be in that position in the first place.
You're going to question the vaccine, but you want to take a horse dewormer.
You peasants, you want to take a horse dewormer? Ha ha. This is why these people are desperately trying to reclaw their way back into the mainstream media or to get any type of attention because, well, they were the faces of absolute stupidity. And it's laughable to hear Don Lemon talk about taking a shot in the behind, given everything we know about him. The fact that Chris Cuomo, by the way, just to highlight that, is trying to rewrite history. In fact, I've heard him say repeatedly that he never gave pushback on ivermectin being used, highlights the fact that he thinks you're just as stupid as he is. You know, Don Lemon is sitting here trying his very best to take a shot at the American people who simply just wanted medical freedom. They wanted an opportunity to decide for themselves whether or not they wanted to participate in a massive experiment. And because of that, well, he wanted you all canceled. Gone. Done. So now it's Don Lemon's time. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Don Lemon being canceled. His show is so unbearable. Whatever he's doing these days is so unpopular that he has to do all these outrageous things, like embed himself in an operation that goes down to shut down Sunday service. Oh, by the way, he's claiming to be a Christian. Let's just highlight that for a second. In his defense, as he continues to outline, he claims that he's a Christian and everything is okay because he's a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's a homosexual. Let's just drive that point home. A lot of times you'll hear people sit there and say and justify their behavior as if they are a Christian, but you're not a Christian, Don Lemon. Because you're not living a Christian lifestyle. But he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants you just to focus on the fact that they just shut down Sunday service because they have a disagreement with how ICE does its job, which is following the law. But he's out here spewing lies, telling people, oh no, ICE is just going out there knocking in doors without a warrant, asking people for proof of citizenship. He doesn't have any proof of that, but tells you it's a fact and you have to just go with it. Trust the science, this guy said to us. He's an absolute troll and doesn't deserve any space in this movement. That's why so many people have canceled him. That's why when you look at his numbers on X, there's no one following him physically. Yes, the numbers are there, but when you look at the numbers, when you look at the breakdown, he's barely getting by. I know people with like 50,000 followers on X who are receiving more when it comes to people following them, people liking their content, watching their content at Don Lemon. That's why he has to do outrageous things to get people's attention. It's also interesting to note, too, that he, like I said earlier in the show, is getting ready to possibly be criminally charged here. Like we had Joseph McBride on earlier, that needs to happen. That needs to happen. We can't sit here and pretend like it didn't happen. We can't sit here and pretend like he's innocent. Todd Blanche yesterday, who is the AG, the deputy AG, I should say, in clip 4, outlined what the investigation currently looks like right now over at the DOJ. Take a listen.
It's a crime. And so they will face a jury. If they're convicted, they will go to prison. And you're right. The FACE Act has been abused by administrations over the years. You're absolutely right. But when you look at what happened yesterday, you know why that law was passed, and we're going to use it for the reasons that it was meant to be used for, which is to stop this type of conduct. And again, this should not, every single American should be enraged and heartbroken at what happened yesterday in that church. People going to worship, and they are stormed by anti-law enforcement, anti-Christian rioters. And the response that you get from city leaders, today the governor just throws his hands up and says, oh, I've always said you should peacefully protest. That is just completely made up. You can listen to what that man has been saying for the past 3 weeks. He has not been encouraging people to peacefully protest. He's been encouraging people to do exactly what they did. And what happened yesterday is a consequence of the governor's words, period.
Exactly, folks. And they don't want to take any blame of this. They are trying their best to shift blame and pretend like they are not the ones doing all of it, but they are. But they are. You know, the president just put out a post too right now saying that DHS and ICE must start talking about the murderers and the other criminals that they're capturing. That post literally just coming out about a minute ago. There are thousands of vicious animals in Minnesota. Nationwide, too, he also highlights the fact that criminally, I mean, we've never been better off. Crime stats, murder rates are low right now, historically low. And he also wants us to highlight the fact that there are paid troublemakers. As many of you guys know, they call themselves protesters, but you and I both know they are not actual protesters. They're lying to the American people, and we all know just that very well at this point in the game. But interesting enough, again, they are trying their very best to go out there and push this narrative. It was interesting. I saw this WAPO article, this tweet that went up, and it alleges that an FBI agent conducted an internal review about the Renee Good shooting, you know, the woman who decided to use her vehicle as a weapon, a 4,000-pound vehicle, and thought she was going to get away with it, after causing a ICE agent to experience internal bleeding. Because why? Well, not because cars drive themselves. No, 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 this car didn't do it. Renee Good drove her car into an ICE agent when they were instructing her to stop, to get out of the car. But instead, she decided, his life doesn't matter, and used her vehicle as a weapon. Now, as a result of that, she ended up with 4 gunshot wounds. Some would argue those are self-inflicted when you are the one who is actually provoking law enforcement to do just that. But they don't want any blame. This WAPO article is claiming that there's a ground to open a civil rights probe into the actions that were taken by that ICE officer who shot her. Although the Department of Justice currently says that no investigation is warranted. So they're trying to say that this is an FBI agent who they've spoken to who is pushing this. The FBI came out and said, no, that's false. Shut up, WAPO, in a follow-up tweet to them. All right, they didn't say shut up. They just said it was false. And again, they're also highlighting the fact that the decision is not made by the FBI. That would be a DOJ decision, which is common sense if you understand how law works in this country. Unfortunately for the Washington Post, they don't know how things seem to work. But folks, this is an ongoing issue that's never ending. And I want to also highlight the fact that it takes forever for us to get these illegal aliens out of our country, right? ICE is out there. And again, I get these emails all the time and I share some of them with you, not all of them because it could be a lot, but they are getting murderers, rapists, and child predators off the street. Again, yesterday I posted just 4, but the list was significantly long of the thousands of individuals they've recently captured in Minnesota. Again, Democrats don't want you knowing about this, but I mean, these are the worst of the worst. These are men who actually did horrifying crimes against children. I mean, even one convicted of murder. There was a Somalian who they also just caught. Convicted of murder. Democrats want them on the street, though. Because their rights matter, not yours. Remember this clip? We're going to play clip six for you. This one is of a gang member who doesn't belong in this country but was here in the first place. And he has 17 prior convictions. Take a listen.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Biden forever. Well, that guy, just so you guys know, again, 17 prior convictions. He obviously went viral for saying just that. But it's been about a year. He was arrested. And he's currently still being detained by ICE. I mean, that's how long this process drags on for. This is why Democrats say, oh, illegals are they get due process. Because that guy who was arrested, will be officially 1 year in about 2 days, is still sitting pretty in an ICE facility in Louisiana, awaiting his many court appearances, according to Bill Mnuchin of Fox News, who's doing an incredible job of covering all of this, I must say. But again, this is the type of stuff that we need to put out there. We need to keep pushing. We need to keep pushing. Democrats are ramping up their efforts, though. It's really important to highlight that in clip 7, because in Maryland, for an example, they're looking to dox ICE agents, and they're doing this all across the country, but specifically, there's now legislation that's being pushed through by Democrats in Maryland that look to do just that. Take a listen.
Legislation in the Maryland House that he says would digitally unmask ICE agents accused of misconduct. Under Moon's proposal, digital information that confirms an agent's identity would become obtainable in legal cases. These are things like license plate and GPS information, as well as cell phone and cell tower records.
Now, obviously, folks, that's something you don't want happening. Something you don't want happening. And I don't think they understand how this works, but the reality of it is ICE is federal, Maryland is a state, and you can't cross over. But they're hoping their donors are just as dumb as them, and so they're going to try their very best to make it seem like they're out there fighting every day. That they're fighting every day. I want to get to clip 8 for you guys, because this one's also another big one. Clip 8, and I keep highlighting the stories, and I'm not going to stop anytime soon, because if you have a daughter, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is, you need to know the risk you take when you take a ride-sharing app. And for far too long, these ride-sharing services have decided to withhold the crime stats. But folks, you need to know about this. Repeatedly recovering these stories about women and girls who are sexually assaulted while getting Uber rides, Lyft rides, rides home. And just recently in Houston, 4 Uber drivers have been federally charged with raping women that they were supposed to bring home, but they instead decided to pull over to the side of the road and rape these women. It's absolutely horrific when you listen to the details. Take a listen to clip 8.
Hi, Bill. Well, prosecutors say that these cases hit home for so many. We've all used rideshare services and trust the drivers with our safety and our families. Officials say that the drivers who are in the Houston area use similar tactics. After picking up women who were intoxicated, they would change their routes or not let the women get out of the car and then assault them. 4 drivers right here now federally charged in separate cases and face life in prison. According to court records, Barney Flores's DNA was linked to 2 other sexual assault investigations here in Texas and then in California. Court records describe Cesar Martel as a serial rapist. He faces federal kidnapping charges for 2 different victims in 2021 and 2023. 3 of the suspects have been arrested and are in custody, but the 4th right here, Abdu Mikbaki, is on the run and at large. The FBI believes that there are more victims out there.
Unfortunately, for about a half dozen Houston area women, their rideshare experiences resulted in some of the most traumatic, violent crimes being committed against them, kidnapping and sexual assault.
We want would-be abusers to know that the Department of Justice is watching. They should know that any such assault brings with it the prospect of federal time.
And we reached out to Uber, who shared this statement with us, quote, sexual assault and kidnapping are horrific crimes that have no place in our society or on the Uber platform. When we became aware of these allegations, we immediately banned the drivers involved and removed their access to the app. Now, several of the suspects already face state charges. When asked why they are now being federally charged, officials say that just given the gravity of these cases, and also they have advantage when it comes to resources and also sentencing, Bill.
Okay, Brooke, that's
So folks, that's
stuff.
Insane, obviously, 4 people arrested in all of this. This is something that happens, and I don't think people really get it. This happens on the regular with these ride-sharing apps. And again, you know, women, when you go out, you drink a little too much, you obviously are trying to be responsible by not driving. So you rely on these apps. You know, if you follow me on X, you know, I often will make jokes about me jumping in to self-driving cars instead of taking Ubers because of how unsafe it is with these drivers. And I mean, although I say it lightly and I, you know, maybe make a jab at Muhammad from time to time, the reality of it is yes, the threat is severe. And all women, all girls, you got to pay attention. Even guys, pay attention. When you get into an Uber, before you get in, check the license plate, make sure it matches with your app. So many times I've caught it twice. That's not the case. That's not the case. And the reality of it is the apps is just, it's just massive. Uber's not going to catch a lot of these guys. They're not going to. So it's your responsibility to protect yourself. Now, again, they are, and it was called out in a lawsuit, hiding a lot of these numbers. They give you a certain portion of the data in regards to their drivers. But when you own a platform as massive as Uber or Lyft, you do have a bit of a challenge there. So make sure you remind everyone in your life that they've got to be cautious at all times. It's not just safe just to jump in an Uber and think you're getting home anytime soon. I mean, I remember when I was coming back one night, I jumped in an Uber, and this was in Texas, and the driver waited until about, this was 2 a.m., until he was about to drop me off, where he had to drop me off, to make inappropriate comments. Now, again, this is something that happens on the regular. And if you're someone who's unable to stand up for yourself, or maybe you just drank a little too much and you knock out in the back of an Uber, you really got to be careful. You really got to be careful. All right, folks, let's switch up gears a little bit. Amy Mack has a new report that she just dropped, and I want to highlight this because, again, it's in Texas, and there's a lot going on in Texas, unfortunately. You know, we talk about it all the time, but Texans are coughing up the expense to allow a lot of these Islamists not only into our country, but most importantly, they're getting a lot of free things from our government, and they're also cashing out at our expense. But she wants to highlight this, and this is important. If you live in Texas, you got to pay attention, but CARE, which is the group that's now designated as a terrorist organization in Texas and Florida, apparently CARE is now getting ready to sponsor a Islamic Games at a Texas paid, obviously, high school in Grapevine. Folks, this is deeply alarming. They have this video up that she's put out there that I think is really important for folks to see, but they make it seem it's all innocent. It's not. And I keep seeing boys. I don't see any girls. Oh, there you go. Thank you. We're getting worried over there. Folks, this isn't the stuff you want in your public schools. Again, our public schools are being paid for by taxpayers. And yet here they are shuffling this nonsense in through CARE. You know, schools throughout the DFW area have been taking a knee to Islam, literally serving halal and other things. It's unacceptable. This isn't what's supposed to happen. And enough is enough. This has no place in Texas. And that needs to be the message. You know, we've allowed them to capture the DFW area now with over 60 mosques that have officially gone up over these last few years. And Texans didn't do enough to fight back because a lot of them just didn't even know what was happening. Amy Mack is a great follow, though. She does go through a lot of this and has been talking about it for years now. But the reality of it is people are catching on. They're trying to get involved. But is it too late for Texas? And again, it's not just Texas. If you live in Oklahoma City, Florida, this is happening there as well. There was also a story, too. Let me just highlight this as quick as possible. A man, a 29-year-old Florida man, is how they describe in the mainstream media. He's not really a Florida man. Actually, his last name is Jihad. Okay, so just let that sit in the back of your, or his middle name, I should say, is Jihad. So let that sit in the back of your mind a little bit. But he lives in Kissimmee, Florida, and he was just recently arrested for the murder of three men, Taurus, who were simply minding their own business when all of a sudden this guy allegedly came about and shot them, killed them, all three of them. Again, middle name is Jihad. But the mainstream media is telling you they don't know the motive. Police say, we don't know what the motive is, why he killed these three white men. Now, this isn't his first time, and that's probably the worst part about it. He apparently was acquitted because he wasn't mentally well, according to the jury. But he was acquitted previously on accusations that he actually shot other individuals as well. Or one person, actually, at a gas station. So thanks for that. Now he's back on the streets and he just murdered three people because we have a group of cowards that are infiltrating our criminal justice system. Again, though, no motive there. Middle name Jihad, though. Worth noting. All right, folks, buckle up. Justin Goodman's joining the show in just a moment. And he's got an exclusive you're not going to see anywhere else in regards to a potential. It might be a leak. It might be a theft in Montana. At a lab that should have been defunded, but unfortunately, not happening. Justin Goodman from White Coat Waste joins us to explain this exclusive report.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. But the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like it's amazing. But I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing.
but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're getting ready to wrap up the third hour of the program with an exclusive story you're not going to see anywhere else. It has to do with a Fauci biolab. Surprise, surprise. The details behind all of this are brought to you by the great folks at White Coat Waste Project, and it has to do with documents that they've recently obtained. Now, in those documents, it highlights that there's a massive, massive public health concern going on. It has to do with a lab that is in Montana. It's the Rocky Mountain Laboratory. And according to the documents that White Coat Waste has obtained, there was an issue back in November of 2025, an RML report details how there was a theft, loss, or release of a biological agent classified as posing a severe threat to public health. Joining me to discuss the details behind all of this, the Senior Vice President for White Coat Waste Project, Mr. Justin Goodman, joins the show to break this exclusive story down. And, you know, Justin, I'm glad you put this on my radar because I know our audience is deeply concerned. They've followed these Fauci biolabs and what's been the result of all of them and how dangerous they truly are. So this is a big one. And you've brought this forward to us. You've recently obtained these documents over at the White Coat Waste Project, which detail specifically the threat that a bioagent, which apparently is classified as potentially posing a severe threat to public health, has been either stolen, which says theft, loss, or release. What are some of the details behind this concerning story?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brianna. You know, since we first exposed Fauci's funding for the Wuhan lab and Beagle testing in early 2020, White Coat Waste has been following the money to Fauci and the NIH, and also trying to hold him accountable and erase his fingerprints from the federal government. Unfortunately, a lot of the programs that he set into motion during his 40 years at NIH are alive and well, and there are entrenched bureaucrats at the NIH, holdovers from the Fauci era, who are preventing more progress from happening under President Trump. Now, we recently, last week, exposed how Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director, just gave another $2 million to a new bat lab being built at Colorado State University to provide animals for infection studies, both at Colorado State and, as you mentioned, the Rocky Mountain Lab. Now, the Rocky Mountain Laboratory in Montana is run by Fauci's former NIH division, the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and it's very infamous. Rocky Mountain Lab is where ticks were weaponized with NIH and DOD to spread Lyme and other diseases back in the 50s and 60s. More recently, White Coat Waste exposed how a couple years prior to the pandemic, the Rocky Mountain Laboratory was cloning coronaviruses that Peter Daszak and the Wuhan lab were finding out in bat caves in Wuhan. They were cloning those viruses at Rocky Mountain Laboratory. And then these are the same viruses that the Wuhan lab was doing gain of function with and putting spike proteins in around the same time. So Rocky Mountain Lab, very sordid history, doing the most dangerous experiments in the country: Ebola, plague, anthrax, lots of different hemorrhagic fevers that have no cure and have 90 to 95% kill rates in people. So we've been following the money of the Rocky Mountain Lab because this new Colorado State bat lab is going to be supplying bats to this facility. Now, what we just uncovered is that in November 2025, so just a couple months ago, quietly, the NIH posted a biosafety report from Rocky Mountain Lab indicating that a select agent — now, select agents are very deadly pathogens that are serious health concerns for both humans and livestock. These are things that are used as bioweapons and can be used as bioweapons. Things like ricin, anthrax, Ebola, tularemia. And the Rocky Mountain Lab's report just has a very benign item, if you didn't know what you were looking for, that says in November, in the middle of November, one of these pathogens was either accidentally released, lost, or stolen from this NIH-funded bioagent lab that participates in dangerous animal experiments with the military. So we don't know exactly what that agent was and what happened, but we do know that there was a serious biosafety breach at one of the most dangerous bio labs in the country that's run by the NIH. And we only know about this because we stumbled upon this document when we were digging into what's currently happening at the Rocky Mountain Lab because of its tie to this very controversial bat lab project at Colorado State, which has gone viral, pun intended, over the last couple of weeks because, again, this is a Fauci-era project. The people behind this Colorado bat lab are the same people who brought us COVID: EcoHealth Alliance, Dr. Fauci, people at Colorado State and the NIH Rocky Mountain Lab who work or worked with the Wuhan lab directly. All these people are connected. And unfortunately, despite Fauci being gone, despite Joe Biden being out of office, a lot of these dangerous animal experimentation programs that brought us a pandemic and are bound to bring us another one if major changes don't happen are still at the wheel at NIH. And that's why we're very concerned. We're working with Joni Ernst, Paul Gosar, other members of Congress to defund the CSU bat lab. And we've even worked in the past to zero out the salaries of these animal experimenters at the Rocky Mountain Laboratory. Unfortunately, people who were gain-of-function proponents under Fauci and Biden are still at the helm at NIH. They've been promoted into leadership positions at the NIH, and they're actually refusing to enact the ban that President Trump and RFK promised us, and are working on kind of watered-down policies that will allow dangerous gain-of-function experimentation to happen. And the people should be very concerned. These dangerous Fauci-era programs that pose serious public health threats, the same type of experimentation that caused a pandemic that killed 20 million people and cost trillions of dollars in economic damage, these people who think that's a good idea are still making decisions that place public health in peril. And we simply can't let it to happen again. Let it happen again. And that's why we've been saying we need to clean house at NIH. All of these holdovers need to go. Anyone who thought Fauci was a good guy does not deserve to be in government at this point.
Yeah, and that's the big problem here, because I know there's been a level of politicians, certain level of them, who have been advocating. I know Rand Paul, the senator, Rand Paul, has been pushing for Dr. Anthony Fauci to be criminally charged. And we're looking forward to hopefully something coming from that. But as you've alluded to, you've said specifically, actually, you talk about how we don't know what this actual agent is that was either stolen or potentially leaked. And that's extremely concerning. But when it comes to getting answers on all of this, I know you said you're getting some level of help over on the Capitol Hill side of all of this. Do you think we'll ever find out the truth as to what this could have possibly been? Because, you know, they still won't even talk to us about COVID and the origins there. They're still pretending like there's a big mystery to all of that. But, you know, we've learned a little bit, but it took a while to get that information trickling in. So do you think that we're going to be able to find out more on this soon?
Well, we're going to continue investigating through the Freedom of Information Act. You know, as you mentioned, for example, Senator Rand Paul has been stonewalled by federal agencies still about what they knew and when they knew it regarding the origins of COVID. So, we're 5 years, 6 years in here. We still don't know what really happened in Wuhan. And of course, the federal government, the Trump administration, many agencies, even under Biden, acknowledge that a lab leak likely caused the COVID pandemic. We can't let that happen again. And part of that is having transparency and accountability about how our tax dollars are being spent and what is going wrong in these laboratories. It shouldn't take watchdogs to just, uncover these things. The government should be more proactive with sharing information about what public health threats do exist. The same thing happened at CSU, where this bat lab is being built. In recent years, they have dozens and dozens of lab accidents. People being in the animal laboratories being infected with being exposed to Zika, COVID, other dangerous pathogens in doing these animal experimentation, and they're not publicly acknowledging those things. That we're having to submit Freedom of Information Act requests, in some cases sue federal agencies for documents about lab safety. This is a very serious public health threat. If we are working with we're importing dangerous viruses. I mean, it's a folly from the beginning. Taxpayer-funded animal experimenters who were either funded by or worked for the government are importing dangerous viruses from remote parts of the world, viruses that do not exist on U.S. soil, bringing them to laboratories, in some cases in the middle of major metropolitan areas, and then doing dangerous experiments on them to, in some cases, soup them up and make them more deadly to people. And we're footing the bill for this. These experiments have no public health relevance. This is essentially bioweapons research. The only reason you would bring viruses from remote parts of the world and conduct animal experiments on them is to study them as bioweapons. Otherwise, there's no reason you would subject the public health in the United States to the threat of these dangerous pathogens. I mean, again, we're talking about, in some cases here, anthrax, ricin, Ebola, tularemia, hemorrhagic fevers that have never been seen on U.S. soil that cause bleeding and quick death for people. Some of these things are incurable, and we're willingly bringing them here to the United States. And we're going to, it's a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when, in regards to when we're going to have an outbreak or cause another pandemic or dangerous animal experimentation. And that's why the Trump administration, I know the president, RFK, have promised to crack down. But there are lunatics inside the NIH who want to keep these dangerous programs going. And unfortunately, under Jay Bhattacharya's leadership, they have not been eliminated yet. And we really have been urging for a year now to clean house at the NIH, get rid of these mad scientists. The NIH is still filled with Trump-hating, Fauci-loving animal experimenters who want to keep these programs going. And it needs to stop, or we're all going to pay the price.
Yeah, no, it does need to stop. And I wanted to get to the point that you were making earlier as well about Colorado, because, you've gathered Senator Ernest, as you said, and we also have Paul Gosar as well, the congressman from Arizona, who have drafted and sent this letter over to the NIH director calling for that money to be pulled back, because they don't want this to continue happening, this funding here. Give us some details as to that, because, again, this has to do with the bat facility that is in Colorado.
Yeah, and this is going to be the breeding, literal breeding ground for bats to supply all of these dangerous virus labs across the country. They're importing that problem here to the United States. And again, this is a bat lab that EcoHealth Alliance was trying to build for years with the help of the NIH. They couldn't get funding for it. Then COVID happened. Then Dr. Fauci used COVID as the excuse to finally greenlight the funding for this bat lab, and has given the NIH has given it $13 million in funding. The state of Colorado has given it another $5 million. So this is essentially a $20 million bat lab. If you live in Colorado, you're paying for it twice. And Paul Gosar and Joni Ernst have been working with us since we first exposed it to shut the funding off. So Congressman Gosar has submitted language to NIH appropriations bills to zero out these grants so they can't distribute any more money. And this recent letter that was sent last Monday by Senator Ernst, who's the Senate DOGE chair caucus, chair of the Senate DOGE caucus, and Congressman Gosar, who's on the House Oversight Committee, asks Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director, to not disperse any more funding from these grants to the CSU bat laboratory. This is the literal brainchild of EcoHealth Alliance and Dr. Fauci, and it is simply unfathomable that under the Trump administration, the NIH director thinks it's a good idea to give this lab more money to get it up and running. And I just want to also add, in 2024, White Coat Waste was on a podcast with, prior to him being NIH director, Jay Bhattacharya, with local residents from Colorado discussing what a bad idea this bat lab was. And Jay Bhattacharya agreed. He said, he literally, his exact words were that there is no upside to a project like this. Fast forward just 1 year later, September 2025, under Jay, they gave another $2 million to this project to make sure it can get up and running, start breeding bats for these dangerous experiments. Yeah. It's an accident waiting to happen. This is a recipe for disaster right out of Dr. Fauci's cookbook. He funded it. He thought this was a good idea, which means it's probably not.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. And that's putting it nicely. But the reality of it that's so concerning, as you just detailed, the NIH director once understood, but it seems like he's still carrying through and allowing this all to continue, which is deeply concerning. Before I go, though, I wanted to ask you about this, because this is also concerning. You also write that there's potentially going to be Ebola bats that are being bred that they possibly be shipped around, and they're heading towards Montana. Do you know the specifics on that plan? Because I see we do have a little bit of a little clip here of this, but do you know any more details on this?
Yeah, so this is from a document we obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. This is an exact line from the CSU Bat Lab proposal that states that the bats they breed at this CSU lab are going to be sent to Rocky Mountain, where that accident just happened, for experiments with Ebola, Nipah, and other, you know, these hemorrhagic fevers that basically cause you to bleed out of your orifices and die. And some of these are incurable. So we have lots of details through FOIA about what those experiments are going to entail. And that's why we want to stop this project before it starts. Another component of this proposal originally was to import bats from Asia to then breed here in the United States. It's unclear whether that part of the project is still going to happen, because EcoHealth Alliance was going to be responsible for the importation of these Asian bats. They were blacklisted from federal funding at the beginning of last year, so they've been cut out of this project now. But the guy running this project is a collaborator of the Wuhan laboratory. We have records showing that he and Batwoman, the person who ran the bat lab at the Wuhan Institute, were coordinating a collaboration in the early days before the pandemic, literally talking about having an association between the two laboratories for coronavirus experiments on bats. So even though EcoHealth's out of the picture at the moment, at least officially, as far as we know, CSU still, the plan is still moving forward for the bat breeding colony. The question is whether they're going to be importing bats from Asia to do that, or they're going to be using the bats who are already at another CSU facility and breeding them. It would be a big win if we at least had, you know, an incremental win if we stopped the importation of bats from Asia. exotic species who don't exist here in the United States, because that presents all kinds of other threats to wildlife and public health as well. But we know for sure that this project just got $2 million in September, that it's moving full steam ahead. As far as we know, the NIH hasn't said differently. They've had lots of opportunities to comment to the New York Post and other outlets who've been covering this recently. They haven't told Senator Ernst or Congressman Gosar that they're not moving forward with this project. And it seems like, you know, as of this moment, this bat lab at CSU is going to be finished. It's going to start breeding bats and then shipping those bats all around the country for some of the most dangerous animal experiments there are in the world. And that's simply something we don't want to happen. And we're doing everything we can to stop.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a really important story, and I'm glad you brought it to our attention, because this should stop. And I think we've made that example several times as to how reckless these laboratories can actually be and how much harm they could cause the American people and globally as well. So, Justin, thank you for sharing this with us. We really appreciate it. And you guys are doing great work over at the White Coat Waste Project. So, folks, if you haven't followed, make sure you do just that. Justin, you do a great job also on X highlighting all of these important stories. So give him a follow, Justin R. Goodman, on X as well. Justin, thank you for putting this on our radar. We greatly appreciate it. We look forward to following it as it develops.
Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, it's a very important story, of course. And again, you're not going to see it anywhere else, but you'll see it here. These labs, we would think, are no longer being funded. We would think that these bio Fauci labs would have been history, but that's not the case. And that is deeply, deeply concerning. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk about the Oracle the co-founder, Larry Ellison. He's touting this new AI body camera, and ultimately he's bragging about how it's not able to shut off. And there's nothing that officers who are forced to wear it could do to shut it off. So let's say you want to go to the bathroom. Well, Larry explains specifically in this one as to what happens if you're an officer who wants to use the bathroom. And, well, doesn't sound quite pleasant. Take a listen.
Body cameras. We've completely redesigned body cameras. Our body cameras cost $70, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way, the way you turn it on, you can't turn it off. I'm going to the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. The truth is, we don't really turn it off. I'm going to lunch with my friends. Oracle, I need an hour for privacy with lunch with my friends. God bless. We won't listen in. Unless there's a court order. But it's interesting. But we transmit the video back to headquarters. So headquarters and AI is constantly monitoring the video. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's It's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. These are the kind of systems next generation systems we can build using AI.
You'll be on your best behavior, citizens. Yeah, because the governments and these private groups, of course, they're spying on you. They're spying on you. And that's the real frustrating part, folks. I am in the market and just had to recently get a new car. And there's cameras everywhere on the car. Cameras everywhere. In fact, if it thinks you're looking away, not paying attention, there's an alert that will pop up in your car. Of course, you can turn it off. Can you really turn it off? Well, obviously, Larry over there is telling you, can't. We're watching you. And to those poor officers who think they're making a pit stop to go to the bathroom real quick, make sure my camera's not working. No, they're still watching you. They're still watching you. But don't worry, Larry says they'll only show the footage if they get a court order. And you know the court system is really, really fair. Really, really fair. I'm sure they wouldn't put anything out there that you wouldn't want out there. How about a little bit of a weird story? Let's just throw this one in there. I don't know if you saw this footage, but this footage is quite interesting. It has to do with apparently an elephant that has been on the loose and has killed 22 people in about a 10-day rampage going on right now. Now, of course, this is India, and this is what's happening right now. This is at its village who's being attacked, obviously. And sadly, there's children who are being trampled, a couple that was trampled. And it's obviously really, really sad. But the footage is just crazy. 22 people killed, apparently, by this elephant. And it's been about a 10-day rampage where they have not been able to capture this animal. Elephants are majestic creatures. I've always thought so. So for me, when I saw this video, I was like, wait, what? How are... But anything flies in India. And there's a lot of weird things going on over there, of course. So I thought this one was a fascinating one. Fascinating one. All right, if you live in Florida, I want to make sure this is on your radar. There's a new piece of legislation that's being pushed through. And again, it always sounds good at the very beginning, but... Well, let me just tell you. Florida's proposed bill is the App Store Accountability Act. It's being introduced by a Republican, which would force app stores like Apple and Google to verify the ages of their users. Now, again, always sounds good. And I could obviously vouch for that. I think that there should be a top priority for children to be safe online. But how do you verify their ages? It would require parental consent for minors. And then again, it would be a protection to boost parental oversight and shields kids from online risk, with about a $7,500 penalty for those who violate it, of course. Now, this would start in 2028 if this bill does push forward. And obviously, as many of you guys know, the biggest concern about this has to be with the digital IDs. How do they enforce any of this? Would they ask for your parents' ID to verify who your parents are? Obviously, children, they're minors, so they need some type of verification. And so most people who are looking at this are looking at it from the why do we keep doing this standpoint. Again, we're all on board when it comes to protecting children online. But it comes at a very expensive cost, which usually means inching closer to the globalist agenda. Surprise, surprise. Tomorrow will be day 3 of the WEF, which we will be covering extensively. As many of you heard, President Trump is expected to speak. Once we figure out the times on that, we'll bring it to you, of course, especially if it's on during this show. I'm hoping he does what he did the first time around and calls out those globalist pigs while he's right in front of their faces, especially those over at the EU who have been trembling because of President Trump's push to purchase Greenland. They're not happy about that. Now, all of a sudden, they're all getting on board looking to invest more in Greenland. Weren't they against? Wasn't the whole big push to keep pushing this war between Russia and Ukraine was to reduce the influence that Russia has? But they're okay with this right now. It only makes sense, I guess, when you don't think about it. All right, folks, that does it for me on The American Journal. I'll have a great show for you planned tomorrow. But of course, The Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. We have a bunch of discounts going on right now at The Alex Jones Store. You have to check it out. So head on over to the website, thealexjonesstore.com, right now to check out the savings we have going on.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty,
I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.